Welcome to Heart, a podcast about all things heart-related, presented by the Physicians of Advanced Cardiovascular Specialists. I'm your host, Susan Curtin. Today, we have Dr. Srikar Veeraredi, and we're talking about AFib. Dr. Veeraredi, what is atrial fibrillation, or AFib?
Atrial fibrillation is an arrhythmia of the heart, which involves the top chambers of the heart. So normally the heart beats regularly when it's normal. But when you go into atrial fibrillation, the top chambers are erratic, and that may constitute atrial fibrillation. Most commonly it's referred to as irregular heartbeat.
And what causes AFib?
There are many causes for atrial fibrillations. The most common causes are which usually cause other heart diseases. High blood pressure, or we call hypertension, is the most common cause, which can cause atrial fibrillation. And heart disease, which is commonly referred to as blockages in heart arteries, can cause atrial fibrillation. Now, there are other causes of atrial fibrillation which contribute to heart disease, which are, you know, smoking. There are conditions like diabetes, overweight, all these, and lung disease can contribute to other heart disease or directly cause atrial fibrillation.
And what are the dangers if AFib isn't properly managed?
Basically, most people with atrial fibrillation feel bad. That's their common symptom. They don't feel right. You know, there are several symptoms. So obviously, that's where they get their attention. And if you don't treat it, first you're treating the symptoms. And second of all, you correct the rhythm. Then second of all, you prevent the complications from atrial fibrillation. Those most important one is stroke. So if you don't identify somebody has atrial fibrillation, then that person can have a stroke. So we characterize each individual patient based on their other medical problems, age, so forth. The risk of stroke is defined that way. So we give them a score, and if the score gets to up to 2.1 or more, their score, the stroke risk goes exponentially high in each year. So based on that, we treat them with blood thinners to prevent strokes.
So one of the treatment plans then is blood thinners.
Blood thinners to prevent stroke, apart from, you know, correcting the rhythm itself or correcting their symptoms.
And are there other treatment plans available?
Yes. So when somebody gets diagnosed with atrial fibrillation, so you obviously, you know, take a history, you find out, okay, what kind of symptoms they're experiencing. Most commonly, symptoms could be from, you know, skipping or heart racing, or palpitations. Somebody have difficulty breathing or shortness of breath when they try to do some activity. Most commonly they feel fatigued, lack of exercise, lack of energy when they exercise. Some people have chest discomfort, or what we describe as angina. Some people have heart failure symptoms like swelling in their feet, or, you know, dizziness, or some people can, you know, to a point where they can get fainted or faint. So we try to identify those symptoms, and based on that, we're going to try to correct the rhythm. There are several ways to correct the rhythm.
What types of medications must individuals with AFib take?
Like we're talking about, you know, control the symptoms. One, to control symptoms, and second, to prevent strokes. So if somebody gets diagnosed with a new AFib or in first time, we try to get them back into normal rhythm. So that's our main goal, to get them back in normal rhythm, because most of them are symptomatic, so can control the heart rate. So we call rhythm control, meaning getting back the rhythm back to normal. That involves what we stronger medicines call antiarrhythmic medications, which correct the rhythm. Sometimes with the medicine itself, they can go back into rhythm. Sometimes we may have to assist their heart by doing a shock treatment to the heart to correct the rhythm itself. Now, if that doesn't work and they continue to be symptomatic, have symptoms and make them feel bad, then we consider what we call an ablation procedure. And to prevent strokes, we based on, based on other health conditions they have, coexisting health conditions and age, we determine what kind of blood thinners we need to give them to prevent strokes in the long run. So if medication don't correct the rhythm and shock treatment don't correct the rhythm, then we will do more advanced treatments. Those are called catheter ablations to correct the atrial fibrillation itself.
Now, can patients tell when an AFib episode is approaching, and what should they do if they experience an attack?
Most patients are, once they have this condition, they kind of train themselves, you know, how to identify when they go into atrial fibrillation. And they can tell when they go into it, especially if they have a lot of symptoms. And once they go into it, usually they, you know, they call their physician and let them know that, you know, this is what they had, an episode or a breakthrough episode, what we call. Sometimes, you know, the physicians, like, I advise my patients to what to watch for, how their symptoms are, and when to go to the emergency room, when to call us, to give their little guidelines for them or tips to what to look for. And if they're on blood thinners, if they're feeling okay, you know, if it's happened in the middle of the night, they no need to panic. You know, they can call the office the next morning. But obviously, if they don't, something doesn't feel right, they need to go to the hospital.
Are there any lifestyle or diet changes that are recommended for patients with AFib?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yes. Most of the times, like we talked about, conditions which cause heart disease also cause atrial fibrillation. So I try to tell my patients to eat, you know, heart healthy diet, you know, keep exercising. If they're overweight, you know, lose weight. And if they have existing other conditions like diabetes, get their diabetes under control. If they have sleep apnea and breathing difficulty, they need to get that tested for that and correct it, and that will help atrial fibrillation. So in particularly diet, I would say, you know, low on saturated fat, not too many fried foods, high cholesterol foods, not much of that. So avoid too much of red meat.
So, how about working out? Is it okay?
I want my patients to live their normal life, even though if they have atrial fibrillation. And that's the only way to tell how much this atrial fibrillation is bothering them. I don't want my patients to alter their lifestyle because they have atrial fibrillation. I want them to lead a normal life. And that's how we know how much of this atrial fibrillation is impacting their lifestyle.
And are caffeine and alcohol okay?
Caffeine is in fact, you know, if you look at our medical literature, caffeine has some protective effects, especially in men. It, you know, usually 2 to 3 cups of caffeine really is shown to protect men from developing atrial fibrillation. So it's really not an adversary. In women, we still don't know. It's kind of up in the air kind of thing. We don't know if it promotes AFib or prevents AFib episodes. Coming to alcohol definitely increases the risk of atrial fibrillation. So somebody's drinking more than 20 grams alcohol, that's one peg a day, that increases their risk for at least, you know, 1 to 2 fold. And if somebody goes beyond that, it's a several fold increase in incidence of atrial fibrillation. In fact, a lot of, you know, we call the holiday heart syndrome. People go on binge drinking, you know, over the weekends and then on Mondays, and they come back into hospitals with episode of atrial fibrillation. So alcohol is definitely a trigger for atrial fibrillation. I think it's more established now as a cause for atrial fibrillation.
I knew a person who was concerned about maybe driving his car. Is that a concern?
Not necessarily. If they're really not symptomatic with passing out when they go into a spell of atrial fibrillation or don't have those history, really there's no reason not to drive. So like I mentioned earlier, they need to live their normal life.
And can you live a long life if you have AFib?
We know so far AFib does not shorten your lifestyle or lifespan directly, but you know, if it has, it has so many other risk factors. People who have atrial fibrillation have other comorbidities or heart conditions or other conditions which may, you know, decrease your lifespan. But now if you have a stroke from atrial fibrillation, that obviously is going to affect your longevity.
Right, obviously. Well, AFib is a manageable condition, but it should be monitored, obviously, and treated appropriately, correct?
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah, so I think the message is just, if somebody feels like, you know, something's not right about their, you know, heart, or what, they feel some skipping beats or some lack of energy or something not right, they need to get it checked out with their doctor. You know, they can listen to them or get an EKG, and that'll give you a lot of information. And because once you get diagnosed, then you can treat it appropriately and prevent some of the complications and long-lasting effects from atrial fibrillation.
Right. Better safe than sorry.
Yes, that's right.
All right. Thank you so much, Doc. We appreciate it.
Thank
you. See you next time.
Yep. It's a pleasure.
To learn more about advanced cardiovascular specialists, visit acsdoctors.com.